Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting Akata to the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is March 12th, 2016, and 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of America. I'd like to welcome everyone to the show this evening, and I would like to especially give a very warm welcome to the leader of this teaching, and that is Sri Kadavji, the Mahaji, the 973rd Livings for Osha Master. Sri Kadavji, hello, and how are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie, and how are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well, thank you very much. And what I'd like to do in the beginning, we start out many different ways. We don't always do the same thing in the show, although people say, oh, it's just a repeat, but it's not necessarily, because we do go over some of the same basic information, whereas we don't present that information in the same exact way. And we also are adding other aspects of the teaching. It's different from week to week. And to prove that, you can also listen to the archives, because we've been doing this show for many years now. So there's hundreds of archives that anyone can listen to gain some greater information. But what I'd like to start with tonight, Sri Kadavji, is you're the 973rd Living Sarosha Master in a long line of unbroken masters. So I'm just wondering I know the history of it, but what some of our listeners might be wondering is, how did that come about? How are you the 973rd Living Sarosha Master? What enabled you to get here? What is your spiritual experience that brought you to this place, and why are you doing what you do? That's a lot of questions I pose, so just start off anywhere you feel comfortable.
Well, that's fine. I also want to add to the fact that I hope it's a pleasant 30 minutes, because it's the idea of having a high vibration and having some joy brought into people's lives. Not to say they can't get joy elsewhere, but the idea is to have an uplifting experience, and the experience of the communication of our discussion on the path of Akata. The lineage and the longest unbroken line of spiritual masters goes back to the beginning of the present age, called the Kali Yuga or the Iron Age, that started on October the 22nd at midnight in the year 3100 BC. So it's been over 1,000, well, a little bit short of 5,000 years that the Iron Age has been in place. And that means that it's the lowest cycle of what is known as the cosmic day in the universe, and that means it's the most negative of the cycles. Now, we're only 5,000 years into it. It seems like a long time, but the cycle duration is around 500,000 years, 478,000 years to be precise. So that means we're at the very beginning of the Iron Age. That doesn't mean we're necessarily stuck in there, but it's still a matter of consciousness. And some of the New Agers are always talking about how we've shifted into a higher level and all that business, but that's not true. And that's just rhetoric and trying to do the element of upliftment too at the same time. But what we do here on Saturday evenings is to give the basic fundamentals of the most ancient science of Sahaji, called Akata. And that means we focus the attention upon the practice of Sahaji, which is the out-of-body experience or the movement of the essence's soul within each person. And that means that they are this light and sound unit of awareness, it's called, that we call soul at its essence. So we focus upon that and try to get people to comprehend what they are at their state of being, to default to that joyful essence, the happy entity. I mean, they talk about in some of the religions that man is sinful and evil and all this business, and we don't put attention upon that. We think that is the lower bodies and the lower worlds of the physical, astral, and causal, and mental planes. There's mental plane sheaths or bodies that will have evil or negativity within those realms. However, at its essence, our view maintains that there is no negative and positive, that it's a neutral state, or that state of pure light and sound. So we don't really give way to that notion of a sin and by man, but we think that's a misinterpretation of what we know as karma, of cause and effect within the lower world. So the karma would be what the religions would equate as sin, but then you can see that even positive actions would be declared as sinful if it's all karma. You see what I mean? So what they do, the religions actually condemn everything in the lower worlds as action is all condemned. And they don't even realize they do that. So we think that we have a better perspective because what we do is we have a daily practice of what is known as contemplation. And it looks like meditation, but we've often said that meditation and contemplation are extremely different. And the easiest way I state about contemplation is that meditation is just a poor interpretation of contemplation. It's like when people see the statues of Buddha or any statue of a meditator, in reality, they're doing a contemplation because that's the highest level of that practice. All right, so we recommend that an individual, especially the members on the path, or anybody could do this. You don't necessarily have to be a member of ACACHA. And by the way, that's free. The membership is free. All the books are free. We don't charge any money for anything. So that's not even a consideration of an undertow of we're pitchmen and salesmen trying to sell something when we do this show each week. They were trying to make money like most people do on online and all this business that they do. So we're not involved with that. Our attitude is a pure message of giving the ability for one to gain soteria, or what is we call an act to the liberation. And the religions that call it salvation. We often call it spiritual freedom in the present, called the jivamukti. The spiritual freedom in the now, and that means that when we use these higher Sanskrit words like ACACHA, Sroshi, and Sahaji, those are the highest vibratory words. They have a high vibration. That means it's very uplifting when we use those terms, and then we want to be involved with that language because it has this feeling, or it goes to the essence of our, they call it resonance, they say that nowadays, it resonates, that buzzword they have in the New Age worlds. And I wanted to add that we're not a New Age teaching or religion, we're not that at all. We have four definitions. We call it a path, a way, a science, and or teaching. And those would be the four logical or English translations or definitions of what we call ACACHA. And the word itself means balance or equilibrium. And that's very important. People say, why don't you just call it balance or equilibrium? But we use those higher Sanskrit terms because they have for said, a higher vibration, a higher feeling, and they actually are in concert with the essence as soul. That means that there's a harmony there inherent in the words itself. When you use the words, it touches one's in self as soul, the I am, where the singular first person I as soul. We don't have a soul, we are souls. And that means that we're speaking from soul, that essence within, and not speaking from one of the lower bodies. So you'll find that our main focus is the practice of Sahaji. We learn about ourselves as the light and sound within. The sound current can be heard as a high electrical pitch, a ringing in the ear within. And then we attune to that sound current. And then we close our eyes and do the contemplation, the daily 30-minute contemplation, and learn to travel through the lower worlds, negotiate our way by the leadership or the guidance, I'll say, of the living Sroshi Master on the inner, to get to the liberation in the fifth plane. Because, see, the other teachings don't talk about this because they're not really supposed to, because ACACHA is the most direct path, it's the highest path, it's really the only path to liberation. And therefore, when people are listening to this, they consider that an audacious statement or the height of hubris, if you will, and then they leave immediately because, oh, every path gets to heaven. I said, well, we say they don't, but even the Catholic Church claims if you're not a Catholic, nobody can get salvation. So other paths say the same thing. And I'm not saying condemning other paths per se. I'm just saying they don't get you to liberation, simply that. And that turns people off, but so be it. I'm not here to address everyone. I'm addressing those who have the ears to hear and the eyes to see, the 1 out of 100 that can feel the essence of living Sirosha Master, can feel the power of the Sirosha, the high term for the spirit, the spiraling essence within us, is the Sirosha, S-R-A-O-S-H-A. And putting one's attention upon that Sirosha is like a mantra. However, we make even a simpler mantra than that. And maybe you'd like to talk about the huge chant being the word human, and maybe take us through a huge chant, Leslie, if you would do that. I would appreciate that.
Of course, I'd be happy to. The huge chant is just an abbreviated version of what a contemplation exercise might be like. So the reason we do the contemplation is to balance ourselves in spirit. So we're putting our attention on spirit, which we call Sirosha in Akata. And so we're putting our attention on spirit, and that's what I'm going to do when I take you through a huge chant, just so you can experience a few moments of what that contemplation method is like. So what we do is sit in a comfortable position. You can sit with your feet flat on the floor. You can have your legs crossed in tailor fashion, whatever is comfortable. And when we're doing our contemplation at home, we should be in a quiet place as well. And we're going to put our attention on either the third eye or the crown chakra. So the third eye is called the Tisratil, that spot just above the bridge of the nose, between the eyebrows, and the crown chakra is what's called the soft spot when a baby first enters the body, when the soul first comes into the physical body. So those are the two highest chakras. We're going to put our attention on either one of those, and we'll close our eyes, and what we're going to do is chant the word hue. And hue is a word from the 10th plane, which actually is another word meaning God. So the vibrations are extremely high. It will also immediately disperse any kind of negativity that's in the area, whether you use it on the inner or the outer. So it's a very protective word, a very balancing word. And when you're chanting it, it brings in the sound current, the Sirosha, very, very strongly into you. So Sirosha is heard as sound and seen as light. And those are the two aspects of the Sirosha current that flows from the Godhead. So you might hear it as a high-pitched electrical sound. You might hear one of the sounds on one of the inner planes. There's many different sounds, and that's sort of how you can navigate where you're going. When you hear a particular sound, like the single note of a flute, you'll know that you're traveling on the fifth plane. And this God World's chart that lists the sounds and the colors for each plane might be in the introductory book. Not completely.
It's in the last page.
On the website. Okay. So let's close our eyes, and you can follow along if you like, or just listen. And it takes a couple deep breaths to relax, and it sounds like this. Which means may the blessings be. So when you're doing the lengthier, the 30-minute contemplation method on a daily basis, as I said, you might hear the sound current. You also might see a light, which is the other aspect of the Sra Osha, which can be seen as a white or yellow light, or you might see a blue light, which is actually the light of the inner master of the Mahaji. That's Sri Kadesh, in case you see that. So he's there to guide you according to your wishes. You also might have a very vivid out-of-body experience. You might travel to one of the temples of Golden Wisdom where you partake in a satsang class with one of these spiritual masters. There's many different types of experiences that you can have, but you're always under protection when you're using that word heal. So I did want to mention that. And it is important to do this contemplation method 30 minutes a day, because that 30 minutes a day actually covers a 24-hour period, which is why we specifically choose 30 minutes. You can do it longer if you're comfortable with it, but then the general consensus is 30 minutes a day is really what's needed to do that. Did you want to add anything to this, Rikadashi?
Surely. Thank you for taking us through the He chant, which is very important, because one, especially if they're a new person, you can get the feeling of the Sarosha if you actually went through it and did the chant. And that idea is to get that high feeling that we're talking about, so you can tune into what we call the spirit or the Sarosha, which is a derivation word, Sarosha, Sarosha. Now, in English, they don't have the two letters together, the SR, so sometimes it's hard to pronounce, so it takes a little practice to say it correctly. It's not SHR, but it's SR, it'd be SRA, not SHRA. So it's called SRA OSHA. And therefore, when you use that term, deep feeling again, because the higher Sanskrit language, which is a sacred, is a higher vibration, as we said before. And that's what the essence of each individual on the show tonight, and even in the marketplace, they're feverishly seeking this essence, this joyful essence within one. But 99 out of 100 won't make it in this lifetime to the path of Akata. People say, well, why is that? Well, it's only for the ready soul. It's for that 1 in 100 presently within the earth region, which is 75 million ready souls. Now, we have about 3,000 on the path of Akata, so it's nowhere near that particular readiness state. But they are there and waiting to step onto the path. That's why we do the presentation each week for that ready soul that may hear the teaching and join up as a member, which you can go to our website, which has a membership application. And there's other information, extensive information on the path. And there's free introductory material like the book, An Introduction to Akata, the Ancient Science of Sahaja, that I wrote about 26 years ago. And it's on the website to freely download. We're trying to get the Haji's book is the sacred works of Akata. It's not the Bible, but it does mean book like the Bible. But it's actually the origins of all that information. But it's just the writings of the living Sarosha Master. And those books we're trying to make those available freely too. But right now they're in a membership page. And not to say that one has to be a member to get those books, but we inadvertently put it in that arena, so we've got to move that in the next month or two. So we'll get around to taking care of that. But right now, I would recommend to download the introductory book and get through the material, because getting through the basic information, you see how easy it is, because really the practice is the daily contemplation that's recommended to do it for 30 minutes each day. And why we recommend 30 minutes is that it's been measured over a long track record of using this contemplation since the dawn of time by the masters of the ancient order, the Viragi, the order of the adepts of Sahaji. They have been doing this daily contemplation, and that it's been proven that over a period of 24 hours that you can get enough spiritual stamina and energy and protection and all those aspects of the Sarosha in your life. And also at the same time, the practice allows one to travel through the lower planes to get to the goals of ACTA, which we haven't covered yet. And those goals are, the first one is self-realization on the fifth plane that we talked about being the first plane of liberation, and really the most important, because when you get to the fifth plane, you've transcended the lower worlds and you've gotten your control back in terms of incarnations. And that actually happens in the second initiation when you have a choice whether to be reincarnated again. So we do talk about karma and reincarnation, but we also teach that it's really an illusion that you actually resolve on the path of ACTA. In other words, when one steps onto the path, they actually cease their karma and start to resolve it instead of creating it. And at that point, stepping onto the path as a member, they become living in the Dharma state, D-H-A-R-M-A. And if people are familiar with it, some of the other Asian or Eastern religions talk about it as the righteous life. But in reality, it's the karmaless life, where you're not actually creating any more karma. And instead, on the path of ACTA, you start to resolve your karma. Now, no other teaching explains this knowledge or information. I challenge people to go find it. They don't. They don't really understand that protocol in reference to shifting from karma to the Dharma state. We talk about that constantly because that's what's happening, and why one steps onto the path and becomes a member, it's very important to resolve all that many, many millions of years, perhaps, of karma that has been within the soul creation in the lower plane. So it's been a long time. So the opportunity of the path of ACTA can be very important in an individual's life. And that's why we do these weekly presentations, to afford to that ready soul the opportunity to gain the self-realization. Now, that's the first goal. The second goal is God realization, which comes three planes higher on the eighth plane. When one experiences God realization, that is a highly remarkable state, which is a complete understatement, because nobody can really put that perspective in certain words of the elation or the upliftment or blissful or whatever you want to put it, the grandiose experience of realizing God, to be a co-worker with that divine essence within and without and in the universe. So God realization happens in the eighth plane, and that's a definite realization of it, and very overwhelming initially, but the experience is to be had on the path of ACTA, and the only path that actually speaks about and allows it and can actually take place, because we're dealing with the living Shirosha Master who holds the rod of power, and nobody else does that. There are people that make claim to that, but they're not really the center living Shirosha Master, but instead they're what is known as a rogue master, R-O-U-G-E, and a pretty foul being, too, to be honest with you. But there's a lot of them out there, and that's fine. Have at it. But you'll find on the path of ACTA, the deciphering capability that the chela or student has can dismiss any of these nonsense teachings. All right, that level of God realization can be experienced on the path of ACTA in the eighth initiation. And then I've alluded to that in the statement. There are initiations. All right, now the third goal and the last goal on the path of ACTA, but not the last level to achieve, it's the last goal or major goal, is the mastery on the 10th plane. Two planes higher than the 8th initiation will have the Shirosha mastery. And that is the plane in the higher Sanskrit term called the Adipiseka. And that particular 10th initiate has now reached the area of mastery and transcends all the karma, is completely worked out by that time. Most of it's worked out by self-realization, but there's some daily karmas that are being worked out. It's not being made, but it's being worked out from ancient times. And people don't make any more karma when they step on the path. It takes a while to resolve all of it because we're talking about, like I said before, maybe a million or more lifetimes as a physical being that people have created all of this nonsense in their lives. So this resolution process, the actual process is like a 30-year process on the path of Akita. It doesn't necessarily take that long. It took me 17 years to master the path because I was diligently working and reading the books and dedicated to my contemplations. And that's what it takes. If one's really dedicated, they can move quicker through the 30-year protocol. But at the same time, it's not a rush on this. I would say there's an urgency to get to the fifth plane because when those lower regions are destroyed, the soul is essentially put to sleep in the fifth region above the lower planes. And then when they reproduce lower worlds, it's put back into the lower regions. So that can be a long track, to say the least. So then we recommend the somewhat of an urgency to step onto the path and get to the fifth plane. That's why getting to the fifth initiation usually takes about 5 years or less. But then after that, the initiation is slow to about every 5 years another initiation. So we make the initiations about a year between each one. To get to the fifth plane as quickly as possible for that liberation point. So that's kind of important. At the same time, there is the suggestion of the daily contemplation. It's not a mandatory thing by any means. There's no mandatory on the path of Akita, but it's highly recommended, I'll say, to do the daily contemplations because it's already difficult enough in the lower planes because we have people that come and go on the path of Akita. When people join doesn't necessarily mean they're cemented in and they'll never go away. It's like a revolving door sometimes. And most of it is because they're not doing the daily contemplation. Because especially in the Iron Age, it's very important to get that daily spiritual shot of the Srosha, if you will, from the inner so that you can have that energy to get through all the tests and trials that the negative force, the calendar engine, will upon the individual. The calendar engine is the ruler of those four planes. He's created by the Akshar to test the chelas or students on the path to make them strong enough for this experience of liberation. Now, it sounds like metaphor and rhetoric and say, why do I need to be strong to go into the higher planes? Well, it's just a matter of focus and attention because it takes an individual that won't be buffeted by the negative forces. Because remember that overlord has a domain. It has a lower world. It wants to maintain it because it's his responsibility to keep people in the lower worlds because it's his rulership. It's his place, his realm, if you will, of control. So he will attempt to keep people. It's a he-god. That's the he-god of religion in Genesis. Moses was talking about the calendar engine, which is essentially the demon. A lot of people don't realize the religions are actually worshiping the devil. I mean, that's audacious in itself. I'm sure the religionists would be throwing rocks at me right away. I'd be stoned in the marketplace, right? But the facts are in it. It's the fact that the he-god is the calendar engine. You see what I mean? So the cow keeps the people in the lower planes focused on a lot of nonsense. So when people come to the path of Akita, they're getting the direct source from the holder of the rod of power, the power of the divine, not a god by any means, but the first representation of it. And I say the divine it, and notice I don't put a gender upon it, because we call God the Akshar, A-K-S-H-A-R, and it is the neutrality or the divine consciousness in the universe, not a gender, not a he or a she god. So that
thank
divine
you,
it, or, yes, go ahead. I'm on a roll.
I apologize. Yes, I apologize. We've only got about 45 seconds left. So for more information, please go to the website. Listen to the archives of the Blog Talk Radio show. The website is akita.com. And I do thank everyone for being with us this evening. We are probably not doing a show next Saturday night, but you can certainly listen to the archives and then come back the week after that for another live show. And I do want to especially thank you, Srikadavji, for everything that you've given us this evening. It's been a wonderful evening listening to you. I'll leave it to you to close.
Well, the Master raises his right hand in the blessing. May the blessings be Barak of the Shah.